really gotta figure out this. We talked about before about how miraculous that this podcast doesn't sound terrible. Because, like, I do nothing in terms of, like, like, I just look at the line goes up, it goes up and down. I hope it's good, but it seems to be fine.
It is pretty okay. Honestly, we have a very low-maintenance podcast. The most high-maintenance thing about it is, like, the little interludes between our topics. You know how there's, like, a little song? A little snippet of our theme song? That's the most high-maintenance thing about our podcast.
Well, but also in a way where we kind of fucked ourselves, in which we're now in whatever the season two of YSEO that we're in, we're trying to... We fucked ourselves in the way that we started a podcast that requires research. So now, from House of the Dragon, as well as today, we're continuing to explore how can we do less research for this goddamn show.
For certain times, sometimes the research is good. Sometimes it's very fun. And then other times it's like, fuck, what? When did we say we're recording? What did I say I was doing? Yeah. Oh, I got to look it all up now.
I still stand by. I'm happy. I think the most knowledgeable of all the topics I've become is like when I did Rumspringa. I just know a lot about Rumspringa now. And it actually, you would be surprised how much it comes up. Twice, I think, in which, like, people, I was at, like, a party or, like, a social thing, and someone brings up, like, Amish or Rum, we're going crazy. It's like, what's that Amish thing, like, Rumspringa? I'm like, well, it's funny you mentioned Rumspringa, as I know fucking everything about Rumspringa. And I always talk about, flashback to the Rumspringa episode, the practice of Steerschnumpen.
Which is what, remind me?
When the Amish girls light the beacon up in their houses and say, like, boys, come here.
Amazing.
And then the guys just stomp up the stairs, stair stomping.
Stair stomping.
And then get hand jobs from their daughters.
From their daughters?
From other people's daughters.
Only get hand jobs from other people's daughters, people. Okay?
What you heard it here.
Wow, not even 5 minutes in.
Yeah, three. In 10 seconds, it'll be three. And just don't get jerked off by your daughter.
So Jason, what's going on?
And then play the outro music at that. Not much. Before we recorded, I was telling, I've been having some awkward, flirty, because I'm now back in dating. The last 2 years have always been, I've always equated my last 2 years as like when Austin Powers lost his mojo.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true. I've not to call myself a Casanova, but I was enjoying my life. I was enjoying dating. I was like, I found a lot of fun in romance and meeting people, but I lost every last drop of mojo I had. So I'm now kind of getting back into dating, but I'm just really flirting sucks. I hate it. I don't know, because I'm learning it's hard to force flirting, because flirting, it happens or it doesn't.
That's true.
There's a person that I've been kind of sweet on for a while, and the only thing that I know about them that they find attractive is that they like forearms.
Yes.
They like forearms. So every time I've been sitting next to this person, I just keep rolling up my sleeves and like trying to flex my forearms so like they can maybe see it out of their peripheral vision. And I can't flex my forearms. I've like nothing. I have arms.
Yeah.
So I keep finding myself in these situations where I'm just like you know the meme of the kid that's just like holding his breast so hard, like the veins are popping out of his head.
That's what I was picturing.
But me flexing my forearms just around them, and I'm trying to like doing that thing where I cross my arms and just like, oh yeah, cool. And then I think like, oh, maybe they want to see the other side because I have a tattoo on the other side, or maybe a tattoo will kind of work. So I kind of pivot to show the tattoo.
And for the listeners who've never seen Jason's tattoo, it is the scariest tattoo of the tiniest knife.
This is, I have an itty bitty tiny little knife tattoo on my arm. And so when I'm sitting next to this person, the way it ends up going, before like I feel like a total idiot and I just like put them away, I just like slap my arm on whatever table or surface we're in front of, and then just like just degree by degree, like a protractor. Like I start at a 90 degree angle, and then degree by degree, I get closer to 180. Like I just keep sliding my arm into their field of vision, just like desperately hoping that they'll like grab onto my arm and say, I love you. Yep. But it just never happens. So I just, it's like I'm completely, if anything, it just becomes rude where I'm just like, I'm just taking up their space on their side of the table.
You're just, like, man spreading your forearms everywhere.
Yeah. I'm just rubbing my arm in front of their area until I can't go any further. I'm like, well, fuck you. And then I scream at them and I throw my drink at them and it's just awkward.
Classic flirting with Jason Hoole.
Yeah, so that's been my last little bit. Trying to get back out there.
Good for you, buddy.
Fuck you. I'm kidding. I love you, Kathy.
I love you too. Listen,
I love you so much. I even told myself, because I'm going at this at a weird, this is a late night recording.
Yes.
I just got home from a very wild show, and not to toot my own penis here, but I murdered. And so it was a good show, and it's goddamn almost 1 a.m, and I'm all keyed up. I was going to come in. I was going to be extra. I was going to take a moment of this podcast to be like, Kat, now we're recording. I really do appreciate how you are carrying this podcast, how much I love you and appreciate your work. But that was before we recorded. Fuck you, dude. Yo, fuck you.
All sincerity gone, bitch. Fuck you.
No, I'm like sleepover energy right now.
Yeah, I can tell. It's great.
I'm all keyed up, dude. Okay.
I don't know. I was excited. I had like a nap earlier, even though I worked early today. I had a nap and I was like, I'll be fine. This is great. And I am fine. But then 5 minutes after you texted me like, I'll be there. I'm like, okay, we're going to do this. And then I immediately just started to feel my eyes droop. And I was like, no. Can't do this. I'm excited. I love a late night recording.
No, this is different.
Yeah.
So, hi, everybody. Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to, however, that's probably, with editing, that's probably going to be like 6.5 minutes of manic energy. Welcome to another episode of You Should Check Out. I am your co-host, Jason Hoole. With me, as always, is...
Catherine Ramachandran. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Now that we got 6.5 minutes of manic energy, get ready for another hour and 20 minutes of severe manic energy. Or at some point, my blood sugar might just pop, and then I'm going to get real chill.
Just the energy switches. I cut once, and then it's just very zen, Jason. We'll see. Let's see how it goes.
We'll see. It's so, I do have such a hard time at, like, hiding when I'm just depleted.
You know what I came across? Snapchat keeps sending me, like, memories of, like, remember when this happened? It was a video of you at our old workplace sitting on a milk crate box. Sitting on a milk crate with your toque pulled over your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Your jacket on. And then you're sitting, like, on the milk crate on the floor. And your head is against the wall, and you're like kind of hugging yourself, and that's how you chose to sleep.
Yeah, no, it's I get depleted so much. It's like I'm just such a, not even a people pleaser. I burn out. I burn out. I get completely depleted. I'm just like,
you come in real hot, and then you extinguish so fast.
Yeah, I just burn up. I like Icarus, like Icarus flying to and just trying to make people happy, despite how much I hate them.
No, you do. You make me very happy. You make other people very happy. In that video, I remember recording you just like going, aw, and then someone else went, why are you recording him? This is bullying.
Yeah, I remember that. I know, yeah. I was pissed. Yeah. What a silly little life I've chosen for myself.
Mm-hmm. So today, as you can tell from the title, we're not doing a regular podcast where we research things.
We did it to you again.
We are doing Friendcast 2.0 2022. Mm-hmm. We didn't do for 2021, I realized.
Oh, I guess not.
Yeah. No. I don't know why.
Well, I think I know why, and that's why this one's going to be better, is the first one we did was, it was a little bit unfocused, and I got wasted. I haven't listened to it in a while because I think That one's kind of a tough listen for me because I was in there.
I don't even remember. I think I was as well, which, oops.
No. Oops.
Oops, that's it.
We can never be president. We can never be in politics. We have too much we have too much goddamn mess.
We said too much in the Friends cast 2020. This has ruined our careers.
Yeah, so this one's going to be a little bit more focused. Mm-hmm. Kat and I have kind of like quick micro, like, hey, like really quick, like almost like actual, like how real people talk to each other. Just like, oh, you should check this out. Oh, you should check this out. You should check this out. Not like... like, hey, you should check this out. And here's 45 minutes why.
Yeah, how real people talk to each other.
So, what was the last episode?
The last episode was... I think you went first, which means this time I go first. And then we'll just, like, bounce back and forth.
Oh, it was Japanese Rent-A-People and then Jenny Cam. Okay. Mm-hmm. You will kick us off on the first micro topic.
Yes. So most of these things are things I have saved on TikTok because that's how I get little snippets of information that I go, interesting, save.
That's how you learn.
That's how you learn now in 2022.
U of titty? Yeah, you are. That's how I want to say it. Instead of like well-endowed woman, like, no, she's of titty. She's of titty.
That's very good. University of TikTok. That's where I get all of my knowledge from now on. There is a account called @BlueberryTimmy. They posted a video about real medieval dog names that were written by Edward, the second Duke of York in the early 15th century.
What?
Yeah, so he wrote You're a doing
list. Medieval dog names?
Yeah, he wrote a list of 1,126 names that he considered to be suitable for dogs, okay? Here are some of them. Nosewise, garlic with a K.
What?
Yeah, garlic.
Like Nosewise was a name and then garlic with a K?
Yeah, Nosewise was a name and then garlic with a K.
Wow.
Gaylard.
I like Gaylard.
G-A-Y-L-A-R-D-E. Steikfast.
Steikfast.
Steikfast. Tully Mully.
Oh, I love Steikfast. What?
Tully Mully.
Tully Mully. I like Tully Mully.
Yep. Yeah. This okay. one you're going to love. Strange. Strange. S-T-R-A-W-N-G-E.
Strange.
Strange. Okay, this is literally one of the names. Best of all. Norman.
Boo.
Filth with an E.
Whoa.
That's something. I saw that and I was like, that's Jason.
That's badass. This is my dog, Filth.
Salmon.
That's modern.
Sinful with a Y.
What the fuck?
So like signful. Like Seinfeld?
That's crazy. That's definitely me.
Another one. Have a good day.
No way.
Yep. Snack with an E.
Snake?
But with a C-K-E. Cramp it.
Bop it. Put it in your pocket.
Coke.
Hell yeah. What?
Yeah. Baby. Just baby.
Baby.
Lame. Albert with an E.
No, it's cute.
And argument.
What the fuck? That's so crazy.
So those were just some of them. You guys can look them up. I'm sure that it's the whole 1,000 names are listed somewhere, but what a little funny tidbit.
I love that.
Also, in the TikTok video, it's paired with like medieval paintings of dogs. And you know how medieval paintings are fucking whack.
Just no concept of how to draw animals.
Yes. So you should look up that TikTok. You'll have a good old time.
I love it. Okay. Can you imagine if we do like the interlude music after every one of these? For me, I'm going to tell you just a quick story about an anime that I watched 3 nights ago.
Oh.
So my best friend and I, we like to watch classic 80s anime, like So Bad It's Good 80s anime, because it's always just insane.
80s anime.
Oh, yeah, like Violence Jack, Vampire Hunter D, Fist of the North Star. Just crazy, like, just like time capsule stuff, So Bad It's Good.
Mm-hmm.
Also very, like, some guilty watching because, like, it's so much of it is just very vulgar.
Mm-hmm, I figured.
So we watched this one series. It's 6 episodes long. It's called Angel Cop.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the craziest TV experiences I've ever had in my life because, like a lot of old media, it starts with a big warning.
Oh.
Where it says, like, but this one, this warning was a little bit different, where it's like the whole thing was like, hey, this was made a long time ago. It doesn't reflect there's a couple things where my eyebrows raise further, where it's like, this doesn't reflect our country. And I was like, country? I believe, maybe I could be wrong, but I feel like it said, doesn't reflect our country. And I was like,
whoa.
Country? Not studio? And then it went on further to say, like, if you don't want to deal with the shit that's in this anime, you can watch the English dub because it's fixed in that. So I was like, fix the dub? Like, it's in, like, it's a language thing? Because a lot of, like, pretty much all 80s anime, I don't know, just a content warning, I'm going to, with classic 80s anime, it's sexual assault is a must have in these movies.
Mm.
No matter what, it's just like, it happens in these movies. It's,
yeah.
It's just what it is. So I thought like, okay, their warning was going to be about that. But if it's a language thing, how the fuck would a English dub fix it? So we watched the show. It's like 6 episodes long. And it's this dystopian kind of future world where terrorists are destroying Japan.
Oh.
And so the protagonists are these two cops. One of them becomes kind of cyber later. And they're hunting down the terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And then this group of super-powered people the cops are, like, arresting the terrorists. And the super group are killing the terrorists using their superpowers.
Oh.
And so... Because with the warning, I was expecting, I was expecting, like, the F slur. I was like, okay, they're just warning because there's going to be a lot of F slurs in it. So, okay, that's fine. There's no F slurs. I'm, like, 5 episodes in. So I was like, what the fuck is it? Dude. The 5th episode, there's a twist.
Okay.
Where it turns out the terrorist group and, like, the overall villain of the story.
Yeah.
Is the Jews.
Terrible.
The heroes are like, at one point one of the heroes, like the detective chief, goes talk about how also content warming, anti-Semitism. now you know how I felt though.
Yeah.
Cause like at one point the cop guy is just like, cause it's like, oh, of course, because Jews took over America and now Jews and the communists are going to take over Japan. And so we need to stop the Jews.
Oh my God!
And then it finds out like the superheroes, the villains that the superhero groups that are also killing the terrorists, they also don't like the Jews, and they're trying to stop the Jews. And I thought for a second that they're going to join forces because they both don't like the Jews, but no, they just like they have different
reasons
to stop the Jews. And in the and in the universe, it's like, not like, at no point does someone go like, well, not all Jews, or like, I think you're wrong. It's just an accepted fact in the universe.
Oh my
and
God.
And the person that made this anime went on to make Full Metal Alchemist. Cuz I was like, I was so confused at what I was watching. I went on and it's cool, there's an article where it's like the writer for Full Metal Alchemist, you might not know, made the most anti-Semitic anime ever made.
Jesus.
I thought it was such a crazy viewing experience where I had no idea how to deal with, because it was just so, what does a Japanese man in the 80s have to do? What does he get out of anti-Semitism?
That's what I was going to say. I was like, one, the reason is such a reach. Also, two, of the things to be like, the two things to be like fighting or against each other, I would not think the Japanese and then the Jews.
It's just like, what does this have to do with you, bro?
Yeah.
What are you talking?
That's wild.
So it's the anime. It's a so bad it's good anime. It's really fun. But I had to share that viewing experience. It was so
terrible.
Because at no point is it just like, oh, I think you're wrong. Or, no, maybe it's just... It's like, no, literally just like, the Jews.
Crazy.
crazy.
And then is any of that, like, evident in Full Metal Alchemist or no?
I don't know that I know of. It's like a Full Metal Alchemist is kind of, it's very, it's almost, I guess you can call it naive in a way. It's a very, like, not childish, but it's just very much like, bigotry is bad. Mm. Be good. Be honorable. Mm. I don't know. But yeah, it's, and at no point did the Jews show up.
Fucking crazy.
So crazy. On so the that's it.
Fourth night of Hanukkah, Jason? How could you?
Yeah, well, it'll be done by the time it comes up. So, haha. So that's Angel Cop.
Wild. No one go watch it.
It's pretty good. It's pretty bad good, but it's good bad.
Okay. The next thing I think I wrote down. So I think there's been a recent, one of the most recent issues of New York Magazine has on the cover the words, "She has her mother's eyes and agent." And this is a whole kind of spread about nepotism babies in Hollywood and who the nepotism babies are in Hollywood. Obviously, we know there's a lot. Obviously, some are worse than others, like a Brooklyn, oh, what the fuck is his name? Brooklyn Beckham. Do you know who Brooklyn Beckham is?
I can assume.
Yeah. The name. So he's like 20 something and he's like,
oh, very, that's very celebrity naming your son Brooklyn.
Yeah.
How that's very posh Spice. You know
I think
what I'm saying?
All the kids' names have like places.
Did David Beckham marry posh or sporty Spice?
No, posh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, so like a Brooklyn Beckham, he's like a self-proclaimed photographer to the point where he has released a photography book.
Wow.
Like a coffee table photography book, and it's just like the most kind of guy who gets a fancy camera starts taking mm-hmm. photos. Like there is one photo that's the one that gets talked about a lot is when he was in Africa on safari. And he took a photo of an elephant, and the title of the photo, I think, is, like, elephant. And it's not even a clear... It's not even a clear photo of the elephant. It's the elephant in shadow, and, like, he's in the dark, so it's just the outline of the elephant, I guess, walking towards them.
Just, yeah.
And that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's a full book of, like, things like that.
It reminds me on, like, one of my favorites, like, I'm sure if you go on Reddit now, if you go on Reddit r/pics, it's like men and women both do this, but it's, I my eyes roll out of my head every time. Pretty much all the posts on r/pics are just a naked girl in black and white. Yeah. It's literally just like, it's just tits in black and white. They're like, yeah, no, I'm doing some lens work here on this one. And yeah. It's like, shut up. It's just like, and it's like, oh no, I just took a picture of my girlfriend naked in black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
My name's Xander.
I did some modeling, and she's just like lying on a bed, or her back is arched.
Yeah.
So there were like too many of the celebrities to kind of pinpoint in the thing. I didn't want to go through the whole list. It's not as interesting as medieval dog names, but I think people should like go and look at it. Because some of it will surprise you, but I found out that RDJ, Robert Downey Jr.,
mm-hmm.
and Kiefer Sutherland were roommates in college at one point.
He's crossed paths with a lot of people in terms of stuff like that.
So yeah, that's a fun little thing. You should check it out. I think there's like a good article accompanying it, but yeah.
That's awesome.
Great.
I love fucking nepotism babies. There's a comedian in Montreal. His name's Dan Caron. He went on this weird on Facebook. He just wrote a list of like every single like nepotism baby that's making big moves in Hollywood right now. There's a lot.
There's so many of them. Like more than I even thought. Like Lily Allen is one.
Billie Eilish is one, but because Billie Eilish is what's known as like what some people talk about like being an industry plant, where it's like being an artist that's just so indie of the people, grassroots, is like ear to the ground. But like no, like you were propped up by your connections.
Yeah, Lily Allen is one. Billie Eilish is one. Timothée Chalamet is one.
Well, it's tricky with nepotism because sometimes, because I'm actually become a big fan of David Cronenberg's son, is a really good director.
Yeah.
He's the guy that did, like, the Fly video drum, like, the, like, body horror stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like, and, like, for some reason, I'm a big sucker for Colin Hanks or Jack Quaid.
Oh! I love Jack Quaid. I love Colin Hanks.
I know, so it's like, some you have to, like, bite your tongue. It's nepotism, but...
I'm not saying nepotism babies are bad. Like, obviously, you're not. You can't choose. Sometimes they're good. I love Jack Quaid. Do you watch The Boys?
I've only seen the first season because I actually kind of boycott Amazon.
Oh my God.
I just don't currently have Amazon, but I've seen the first season. I want to see the rest.
It is so good. And Jack Quaid is very good in it.
He was good in the new Scream movie.
Oh, yeah. He was in the new Scream movie. The only thing I saw him before this, because he hasn't done, like, much, really, was he was in the second Hunger Games.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
He must have been really young in that.
Yeah.
Huh.
He looks exactly like his dad.
Better than his uncle. You ever see what his uncle's up to?
No. What is the Quaid uncle?
Randy Quaid. Really? He went crazy. He was in Independence Day, and then he made a bunch of insane YouTube videos where it's...
That's
a YCO by itself, Randy Quaid. Check out Randy Quaid, that fucking wild man.
Randy Randall Rudy Quaid.
No. Randall Randy, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's it for nepotism babies?
That's pretty much it. I wasn't going to go through the whole list, but check it out, people.
Okay. This next one, I'm just going to do real quick. This is literally just, I'm just going to do quick movie recommendations.
Mm.
I got really into the last year and a half, I got really into Korean horror.
Ooh.
So if I could recommend three Korean horror movies, would be Mother, mm-hmm. directed by Bong Joon-ho, the guy did Parasite.
Yeah.
The Mother is amazing. The Wailing.
Wasn't Jennifer Lawrence in Mother?
No, that's a different movie. It's just that's...
Same title?
They're both called Mother. Oh, okay. But one's Korean, and this one...
So Are they the same movie? As in,
no,
like...
just different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not a very original name.
No, it isn't. I was just double checking.
Yeah. No, I know. I had the same question, too. Another movie called The Wailing. The Wailing is probably the best one on the list. Mother's amazing, but I think The Wailing's a little bit better. So, And then another one is called Burning. Or is it called The Burning?
I've heard of Burning.
Yeah, because this one stands out because Steven Yeun's in it.
Yeah, that's
Steven
why.
Steven Yeun plays the antagonist, and it's all in Korean, and he's... amazing in it.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's so dreamy.
He is. So those could be just real quick three Korean horror movies to check out. Mother, The Wailing, and Burning.
Sick.
They're awesome. Back to you, Chet.
Back to me. What movies have I seen this year? I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I still need to see it.
Oh, Jesus. It was longer than I thought. That's what she said.
Not to me.
It was
no, she has. Oh, shut up, Jason. You're so insecure. She has, though.
She.
You just call me gay. You fucking 12-year-old.
No, I was calling you my little pet's name, Gaylard.
Gaylord.
Yeah, it was longer than I expected because it kept going and I was like, surely it has to end. And then it didn't. And it just kept giving us more. But everyone in that movie is very good.
I'm very excited to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I really do want to see it.
And it was directed by the guys who call themselves the Daniels. And they did... What? Yeah, they're referred to as the Daniels. And they did... a movie with Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe called Swiss Army Man.
Oh, I know them. I'm obsessed. I think Paul Dano is one of my favorite actors.
Oh, Paul Dano is so good. Oh, also, another movie I saw this year, because I can only really remember the movies I saw in theaters. I saw The Batman.
Oh, yeah, The Batman.
Which people, I don't know, I hear mixed things. I really fucking loved it. It was so, like...
I liked it a lot.
Moody and gritty and emo, and that's fucking, like, sometimes... It's a vibe.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I'm such a sucker for Batman. I almost had, like... It's almost embarrassing how much I was enjoying this. So it was, like, a couple weeks ago. So it's, like, Montreal, I was downtown, like in like the core, like downtown core of Montreal. So like big, tall, concrete, kind of like bland buildings at nighttime. Amazing. With like light snowfalls. And I was in my black coat with like the zipped up, and I was just listening to the Batman, the Batman soundtrack, like the theme. And I felt like Batman. I felt like Bruce Wayne patrolling the streets because I had my little wispy brown hair going around. And amazing. I was just so like, I was like scowling. I was like kind of like brooding as I was walking because it was just so fun.
Yeah, that's amazing. I would be exactly in the same position as well. Sometimes we have the exact same brain.
A little bit. Yeah, we're simpatico.
Mm-hmm. I watched that. I watched Wakanda Forever, which I liked. I didn't dislike. I can't remember.
I haven't seen any Marvel past Endgame.
Wow. Because you, because of your political beliefs?
Oh yeah, entirely. It's because I saw the lineup and it was too diverse for me. No, it's just the time ask is so, it's so different. It went from already too many movies. The difference between too many movies and too many TV shows.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck yourself. I'm not gonna watch a 500 hours of Marvel. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna do it.
It's a lot because. They all interweave with each other to the point where it's like even the fucking animated show that they did has so much of the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness had so much of what happened in the animated What If show. And it's like,
oh, the What If. I forgot about the What If too.
Yeah, exactly. So like fucking anime. So like how much homework do I have to do to go watch this fucking superhero movie? Are you kidding?
I'm not going to watch What If. I'm not going to watch Captain Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm not going to watch She-Hulk. I'm not going to watch... I might watch WandaVision. I'm not going to watch Loki.
Mm. I've watched all of them because we just like... It's something to do like weekly. It was nice to like watch something weekly.
This is the difference between a single person and a person in a relationship. It's that you will watch... Because that's just what people in relationships do, is they just watch stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Of the ones, I feel like WandaVision has the biggest impact after the fact. As much as I like She-Hulk, I don't think you're missing out on anything. I think, frankly, you would dislike it.
I do, but the thing is, it's directly up my alley fetish-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Just a big, thick, green lady.
You know, every single time they, like, she dates on the show, and then they would be like, yeah, I love a big lady. And then there's one scene where she's carrying a dude in her arms, like a little baby.
Does she?
Yeah, and I thought of you.
That's me, 100%. That's, the thing is, She-Hulk is the one I'm most likely to watch, because it's just like, oh, cool, that's my fetish in a multi-billion dollar industry, cool.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Other than that, I can't remember what else I watched. I watched Don't Worry, Darling, like, in the screening room of my building. Because I didn't want to watch it just, like, on my laptop or something. And that was a trip. I liked it, but then I, like, if I watch it again, I'm going to be like, yeah, there's a lot of vagueness and things that didn't get cleared up. And just, it wasn't, like, a whole movie on its own.
I don't know what it is.
The one with Harry Styles and Florence Pugh?
No.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay, babes.
That's okay, baby.
I think... So, Everything Everywhere All at Once was one of mine. So then, now it's your turn. Go again.
Okay, I'll go again. I will say, for a movie, I think The Northman was my favorite movie this year.
That's the one with Alexander Skarsgård, isn't it?
Boy, is it.
Did that come out this year or last year?
I think it was 2022. Let me just make
really?
Sure.
Really? God, that feels like 10 years ago.
It does. Northman. Yep, 2022.
Shit. Spring.
Crazy, eh? So, for the next topic, we're now getting to a point. Don't hold it against me, listeners, with the next, like, four or whatever many topics I have, if I might revisit later as a full topic. But,
I was going to say that too about some of mine because they're ongoing topics.
Yes, because some of these were just like, I kind of just cleared out my queue, because when I have thoughts for topics, I'll put them down on like a Google Talk, and they're like, oh, cool, I'll do research on this later. But with this topic, I was like, oh, fuck, I just clear out my queue on things that I haven't done research on yet. But I have done some. My next thing, chess boxing.
Chess boxing.
Have you heard about chess boxing?
I have not.
Chess boxing is kind of crazy.
It's kind of crazy.
I got really into chess this year, but chess boxing is this weird event where it's like this weird, it's half chess, half boxing, and you can find some highlights on YouTube. They just did a huge tournament the other day, and I wish I liked it more, but it's kind of stupid.
Okay.
But it's because it's at this kind of crossroads between like spectacle, ironic, so like kind of just stupid, like it's kind of like a joke, to like also kind of trying to be serious. But the thing is, the way chess boxing works, it's like, I'm gonna fudge some of the numbers. Like, let's say a normal chess game, like a blitz game of chess, is like 10 minutes long. So the way chess boxing works is these two people, they're supposed to be very good chess players, and it would be good if they were good at boxing, but they're really not.
Hold on. Is it the guys who you would normally see playing chess boxing?
Yes.
Got it.
Because that is now where I'll get into the crux of why it's not that entertaining to watch, but I think you can tell. So it's like these two people, they square off, they do 3 minutes of chess, and then they'll do a minute and a half of boxing. And then 2 minutes of chess, and then like 2 minutes of boxing, and then they kind of wrap it up. Then they go till like you can win through either knockout, checkmate, total knockout, where it's like if the referee has to interview four times throughout an entire boxing match, you're TKO'd, or if they have to interview three times in a single round, you're TKO'd. So what happens is, this is where the problem with chess boxing is. It's like you. It's either you're going to have really good boxers or really good chess players. And from what I've seen, they're only getting really good chess players. So it's like, it's just regular chess, high level chess, like really good chess players.
Yeah.
And then the worst boxing you've ever seen in your fucking life. Like, it's like literally just these dorks that are just like I've never seen so many man boobs in boxing. Like, it's just like, it's just that they play chess, and then they just kind of do terrible boxing and just kind of hit each other. Sometimes they get really into it, and they're like, there's some good hits, and it's like, it's regular humans. Because it's like, regular, you know, humans. That meme or whatever where, like, they should put, like, one normal person in the Olympics so you can kind of see and reference?
Yeah.
It's like normal people boxing each other.
Yeah.
But, no, it's interesting enough. Like, you can kind of see, like, after they've been boxing for a couple of rounds, their chest starts to suffer because they're so like, they're so flustered from just getting punched in the nose by a dork.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was laughing on the verge of tears because I'm just imagining like making like playing some chess all normal as you see chess, and then they get up, they walk over to the side where they then start punching each other, and then like one of them gets a good punch, and then they come back and this guy is like seeing stars and he's just like staring at the thing like shaking it off like, okay, what do I do?
In a good chess boxing match, that is what it is, but a lot of it is because of the way the way most of these rounds ended was through TKO, technical knockout, because that's just when if the ref has to intervene three times in a round, they just get, it's a TKO. So what happens is one of the nerds will get the upper hand. And then, because it's like professional refs, because it's very professional boxing referees with not professional boxers. So they're trained to like break up anything. So what happens is like one of the nerds will like get a couple hits in and then will like triple down because the other guy just has no idea what to fucking do with his arms. And then we'll just have the messiest jabs, like literally just like,
oh god,
like remember like The Simpsons, like Lisa and Bart is like, I'm gonna keep swinging my fist like this.
Yeah.
And if you get hit, it's your fault. Yeah. They start just like windmilling. I'm interesting to see if they will just need to have, like, if it could be interesting if it's, like, really good boxers who are also really good at chess. One thing that was kind of funny at the start of, like, the tournament that I was watching, because the YouTuber, the streamer, whatever, Ludwig, he put on the big, huge venue. So much money was put into this. It was very professional. Mm. But when they had the commentators at the beginning, they're like, so you could win through a checkmate or a TK or a knockout. What do you think we're more likely to see? And the box, because they have a boxing commentator and a chess commentator, and the boxing commentator is like, you're not going to see a knockout in this. Like, it takes a lot of skill and power and training to knock out anyone. Mm. You're not going to see. No one's going to get knocked out in this.
That's very funny.
Yeah, so I might return to that later with more to say, but that's chess boxing.
Got it. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My next one, another TikTok by Dougie Sharp. So, you know Denny's.
I do know Denny's. Yeah. I've been there.
Yeah. I think we all have at one point. You know, the famous thing about Denny's is how they never close because they're 24 hours, right?
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. So, there was one time in 1988 where Denny's corporate or whatever decided to give everybody Christmas Day off, which meant that they had to close. And you think that's easy. They're like, okay, great. But because you have a business where you never close for any reason whatsoever, you then discover that no one knows how to close. No one knows how to turn off machines. No one knows.
Oh my god.
No one knows where the fucking keys are for the doors.
Oh my god.
Like, literally no closing routine whatsoever.
That's so funny.
Isn't that so funny? So, like, a bunch of things happened. They realized that no one knows how to close. They had to, like, look up all of these things. They were, like, scrambling and panicking to try to figure out how to close the fucking stores. For one day, they had to reschedule deliveries. They had to, what else did they have to do? Reschedule deliveries, look up how to close. A lot of the people didn't even have keys, or if they did have keys, they didn't know where they were. So then Denny's had to, like, install 700 or so new locks, because the locks that were on the doors, no one had keys for.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so it was just basically chaos. And then I think they tried again in, like, the mid-2000s, and then it was also chaos. And then most recently, when everybody had to close for the pandemic, they were panicking again, because Denny's never learns.
Denny's never learns. Denny never forgets.
But yeah, I thought that was funny. And, like, you don't think of it, of, like, 24-hour places, and, like, they genuinely never close. Like, we had a Starbucks when we were working together. We had a Starbucks that, like, was a 24-hour one, and then once they had to start closing, they had no idea how to. And I was like, that's fucking silly. You should have learned. But they don't. They learn, like, maybe the first week they ever work, and then that's about it.
Yeah, it never closes.
They just never close. Wild.
I like that. That's cute. That's funny.
That's it.
One of my, again, another topic I might go at length, because it's just a very weird, we talked about it briefly, I think, on a podcast before. The Heart Attack Grill.
No.
Are you familiar with Heart Attack Grill?
No.
The Heart Attack Grill is this weird, spoiler alert, my next topic will be in a similar vein. It's this weird novelty restaurant that is so bizarrely evil and cynical. And it's almost cool in a way that is just so fucking morbid and creepy. Heart Attack Grill is like a novelty restaurant where it's the guy that owns the restaurant hates you.
Whoa.
And he hates obese people. Like, he hates them. So the whole point is, like, he's making the most unhealthy food he can. And it's a big pattern where it's like, you eat the unhealthiest food at the grossest amount of quantity because he wants you to die.
Oh, God.
And he says it in interviews, it's like, no, because it's like, there's like this weird performance thing where it's like, this guy's like, I'm a doctor. If you eat my food, you'll die. do not eat this food because you will die and you deserve it. But then that creates this weird boom where, like, all these people will go, like, a lot of, like, mukbangs, like, well, mukbang people will go there. And, like, the really, like, the Nikocado avocado or, like, the, I think her name is, like, Fat Girl Eats or something.
Yeah.
Well, the point is, and then what happens is if you weigh, if, like, if you're way over 400 pounds, you get it for free. It's stuff like that. And it's, like, so, like, if you weigh a certain amount of food, if you have a certain amount of weight, like, you get it for free. Because he's literally just, like, trying. And he's very open. He's like, I want, this food will kill you. If you eat this, you'll die. You shouldn't eat this. But it's here. Do you want it? And then people do it. It's so creepy where the guy wants to kill you. And
how fucking dystopian is this? Oh, my God. It is.
And at one point, they had the spokesperson. A regular was, like, this 700-pound man who was a regular there, and he was like, hey, let me be your spokesperson if I can just get free food. So then he was. He was their spokesperson, this big obese man, and then he just died, like, a year and a half in of just, like, the free heart attack row. And, like,
oh my God,
it's one of those weird, check it out, because it's, like, they when you walk in there, they dehumanize you, they spit, like, they hate you.
Jesus.
I might go on a deeper dive on this because it's such a strange thing, but Heart Attack Grill, and it's, like,
is it in the U.S.?
Oh, you know it is, baby. It's something else because it's, like, because really? you can hate on it for being so mean, but it's, there's a certain amount of, like, more morbidity to it where the person's very open because he's just like, eat this and you'll die.
Yeah,
like it's the fact that it's like, it's more the fact that it's successful is what makes it so interesting. It's very strange.
That's Heart Attack wild. World.
That's my topic. I might revisit that another time.
Jesus, that makes me sad.
It is very sad. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy boy. Crazy boy, so fun.
Okay, so in 2002, I believe, Channel 4, which is the channel, one of the channels in the UK, Channel 4's Cutting Edge released a doc titled Boys Alone. Boys Alone. So there was a social experiment where they left 10 boys who are roughly the age, like, 12 or something. Like, they're not teenagers and they're not, like, 5-year-olds. They left them in a house by themselves. The house is, like, the kitchen is fully stocked with like, treats and healthy food. There's furniture, there's games, there's, like, all of the stimulation. I think before they even went into the house, they had, like, a week of classes on, like, I think how to take care of themselves and how to cook and stuff like that, right? So they did that. And Jason, what do you think you get when you get, like, 10, 12-year-old boys in a house with no adult or parental supervision? What do you think happens?
Fooling around or fighting?
Yeah, literally, if anyone has read The Lord of the Flies, that's exactly what happens. No one dies.
Oh, my God.
No one eats anybody. Spoiler alert. But it is absolute fucking chaos. From the second they step into the house, it is absolute chaos.
Oh, my God.
They destroy shit just because they can.
Mm-hmm.
They eat truly only garbage. Because, again, they can. Even though they got taught the information on, like, how to make themselves a proper meal and all of those things, it was nothing. They just absolutely trashed the place. It was disgusting by the end of it. They were so dirty. And then they had, like, the boys had, like, divided into two groups. And one was, like, the quiet boys. And one was, like, the loud, crazy boys. Mm-hmm. And they, like, dragged their mattresses into the different rooms so that they could, like, some of them could sleep or whatever. But they really just were all, even if, like, the loud boys were like, let's go destroy this thing, some of the quiet boys would, like, follow them because they were just gonna go hang out with them. And then there was one boy named Michael who became, like, the scapegoat, and everyone kept blaming him for everything, and they were just
it always has to be someone.
So, and then they were like, he was, like, super upset, and they, like, tied him to a chair in the garden. Like, they truly mistreated him. And just there was no redeeming anything. Like, they didn't clean up after themselves. They didn't realize that, like, hey, maybe we should band together and, you know, survive. They did nothing. They just kept tearing. They're like, I'm bored. Ugh, this is so messy. Let's just go destroy more shit. And just, like, kept destroying everything.
Oh, my God.
And then whoever did the social experiment did the exact same social experiment, but with girls a couple months after. And what do you think happened?
Mean clickiness, like ostracizing, or...
Or
was it just better? Or was it just better?
It was 1,000% better.
Oh, okay, okay. I wasn't sure if it was going to be like the parallel. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So it was 1,000% better. When they got into the house, it was obviously like they went a little crazy because there was absolutely no adults around except for the people like filming, but they weren't intervening whatsoever. But they got a little crazy, but then, like, they soon settled, and they were like, okay, now what do we all do? Like, okay, I'll be in charge of cooking, and then you clean, and then you do our activities, you plan our activities. These girls scheduled, like, a fashion show. They taught each other how to do makeup. They did arts and crafts. They cleaned up. They slept. They ate properly. They did all of these things. When there was like some clickiness and some bullying, like a girl was upset and she was crying in her bed, and then all the other girls came to support her and just be like, what's wrong? Like, tell us what's wrong. And then she told them and they were all like, no, you're so great. Like, you're so important here. And like comforting her.
That's so creepy.
Isn't it so crazy? And they, I think the boys and the girls learned the exact same things before they went into the thing. And just the difference in how they react and how they existed is absolutely nuts.
How old were they?
I think they were around, like, I can't remember specifically, but definitely not teenagers. Like, I think they were younger than 13. If at the oldest, okay. One was, like, 13.
Wow.
But it ranged between, like, 11 to 13, I think. But yeah, so that, I think you can see it on YouTube. It, like, cuts between the boys and the girls. and it's absolutely wild.
Like, I would like to see that.
It would have been interesting also if like the girls kind of dived into the same kind of like debauchery as the boys did.
No, but it's I think that's more interesting because some can make an argument like they're at a certain age where like nurture has taken place a little bit. I'm kind of on the board of nature where I think there is something inherently different in boys and girls at that age.
I agree. That's it. End.
Yeah, no, that's it. That's very interesting.
Yeah, you should check out the YouTube video. I think it's all on YouTube. It's very funny to watch.
I would like to see that. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of like remember that TV show, that reality show, Kidsville?
No.
Oh, maybe I'll do this. I won't do that as a topic because it's been, there's a very famous video, but I'd just be quoting a famous video by JonTron about it. Okay. But it's that reality TV show where it's like, I'll send you the JonTron video where it's like, the TV show where it's like a game show where all these, it's like 40 kids just like take over this old, like, Old West cowboy town.
Whoa, cool.
And it's literally just all kids and it's just a nightmare.
Huh? Yeah.
What is it called? Kid Town? Send me the video. It's a good video.
Yeah.
All right. So, Boys Alone is what it's called?
It's called Boys Alone. I think if you just search up boys versus girls, like, social experiment, I think it should come up. It's like a mid-2000s video. You can tell the difference. It's not like you would be watching one of the ones that they do now, like the YouTube Reacts videos. I can't remember what they're called. Yeah. Kids React or whatever.
Oh, that's it. I'm actually very much going to check that out.
Yeah.
My next topic, it's very much in the same vein. Oh, fuck, I forgot. And I'm going to go back. Hot dog eating contests.
Oh.
I started dabbling in that a little bit.
As in doing?
Never. They're disgusting.
Hot dogs?
Hot dog eating contests.
Oh, okay.
Like competitive eating. There's a... I think what I will say... what's his name? Joey Chestnuts? What's his name? Like the top eater.
Hold on. Yes. I know who you're talking about. Joey Chestnuts.
Yeah, Joey Chestnut. Joey Chestnut is the current top competitive hot dog eater.
Joey Chestnut sounds like a Brooklyn Nine-Nine character.
It really does. It sounds like it would be played by Jason Mantzoukas.
Okay, sorry, keep going. How much does he eat? Tell me how much he eats.
He's just saying, what is his record? What is his record? Let me see what his record is. 1 second.
Do I know who you're talking about, Joey Chestnuts? Hey, it's your boy, Joey Chestnuts.
Yes. So his record, he ate 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
76? Oh, this is not the dude I was thinking of. I was thinking of the Asian dude.
Oh, that's another one. I think he's probably like number two or something now.
Yeah, I can't remember what his name is.
But I want to mention specifically, there's a video that kind of this doctor, I think it was, that shows what it looks like, the human stomach, to do these contests. Whoa. And it's actually the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life. I watched it today and I felt genuinely very upset watching it. It's like a mannequin, a doll of like a human chest cavity and stomach and intestines. And they had like a bladder to be the stomach. And what they did, they just like, because the way how you eat hot dogs and hot dog contests, I'm sure you know, it's like you literally just, what they do, they dunk it in a bucket of water and then just shove it down their throat.
Yeah.
Like they don't chew it. They literally just dunk it in water and then cram it down their throat.
Ugh.
And they do that 70 times. And so what this guy did, he literally just like with a big stick, he would just dunk hot dog in water and then shove it down the mannequin. So like then the bladder would expand the way the stomach would. And it's actually disgusting how much like the stomach, because it's literally just like, it makes you sick to watch, where it's just like, it just, they go from like 9 months, they go from like, they're like, they're 9 months pregnant, the way their stomach expands.
Why do humans do this?
Let me think. I wish I had prepared more for a philosophical conversation. But
do that. Sorry.
But this one, I think normally I'd be able to pull something out of my butt there, but I truly don't know this one.
So much of it is just like, it's in the same vein as like the Olympics and sports and stuff, and like how much you can push your body and yourself to do, because I think that's like a thing. It's like, I can eat the most fucking hot dogs without absolutely exploding, you know? But it's just like the shit you put your body through,
which is what happens, like because the thing is, they don't puke after.
No, what are their shits like?
I don't know. I want to know what
their shits are. The full like. Hot dogs.
How long does it take for you to shit?
Yeah.
But also calorically, because the way it works is like, they consume in these contests, they consume enough calories to sustain a human being for 3 months.
Do
you need to eat after that?
Terrible. Yeah, like how do you have a relationship with food?
I don't know.
These are big fucking questions. Yeah.
There is a pretty famous video of Joey Chestnut. They're doing during a hot dog eating contest. They're like some trolls. Like they're not even real protesters. I think there's some weird troll like Star Wars stormtrooper protest or whatever. Like, I think they're just doing a joke like investigate the Death Star or something. I don't fucking know. But there's a protester or troll that like during the heat of a contest, he kind of shoves Joey Chestnut to like go in front of the camera to disrupt the show with his sign or whatever. And Joey Chestnut, he grabs him by the neck, chokes him, and then just like throws him aside. Like he's just like literally just this. And like, it's such a brutal like neck grab with his arm. It's like, he's like, you could have fucking killed him, Joey Chestnut.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, have you seen the look in his eye when he's competing?
It's so disgusting.
The other guy I was thinking of was Matt Stoney.
Okay.
And then Kobayashi? Damn. Also, can I tell you what Joey Chestnut's birth name is?
Yes.
Joseph Christian Chestnut.
I love the Chestnut is his real name.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, so that's a brief thing on competitive hot dog eating.
The hot dog one is like, I think like the worst, because it's just like, I understand the hot dog, the easiest way to get it down, to not even chew it, is to just like throw it down the gullet. But I think like the worst thing about it is the dunking the bun in the water and then slurping that up. Like, that is sad and gross.
It's so gnarly.
Yeah, very gnarly.
Okay. You go.
Thank you. Kind of my last topic. This is the one that I said that was ongoing, and the reason why I haven't done it as a topic yet is because there's not too much information about it. I'm just waiting for them to discover more things. Have you heard about Cleopatra's lost tomb?
No.
So, Cleopatra, the Cleopatra, has, no one has ever been able to find her tomb. You know, we found, like, I think King Tut's tomb and everybody else's kind of tombs and pyramids and shit like that, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that we didn't know where Cleopatra's was.
Yeah. So, hers is lost, hidden, and she even said, apparently, when she was alive, is that no man will ever find my tomb. I was like, okay, what? Damn. Yeah. So, the reason why this is being brought up is because right now, a woman named Kathleen Martinez of the University of Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, along with a team of archaeologists, why am I saying that weird? I'm not going to do it.
Let her do it. No.
Archaeologists. Yeah. It still sounds weird.
No, yeah. I don't think you quite have it yet.
Archaeologists.
There you go.
Why do I add extra syllables? So, Kathleen Martinez and a bunch of
Archies, just call them Archies.
Archies, a bunch of Archies. I've never had trouble with that before. What the fuck? They've uncovered 13 meters below underground a series of tunnels, or like one big tunnel. Okay, so 13 meters, which is 43 feet below ground. It is a 2 meter tall tunnel, and it is 1305 meters long. It's pretty long. Okay.
Like 13 to 5, like 1,305 meters, or like...
Yeah, or I think feet. I can't remember where the information... Why did I write it down like that?
Probably anyways. Feet, because that'd be a kilometer long. Mm. Over a kilometer long.
It's pretty long, is the point.
you come to YCO for the hard facts. It could be 13 feet, or it could be a kilometer.
It's definitely not 13 feet. Longer okay. than that.
So it could be 13 meters or a kilometer.
It's 1,000 miles away.
Great. Amazing.
Yeah, so they discovered it underneath a temple in the ancient Egypt city of Taposiris Magna. Yeah, they call it a geometric miracle. Because of the way it was constructed. It's not like the first of its kind, but the reason why they think it has anything to do with Cleopatra's tomb is one, they think that the original temple that this series of tunnels is underneath was a temple dedicated to the god Osiris and his queen, the goddess Isis, which Cleopatra had a very strong association with. So they are kind of saying it might lead to the tomb of Cleopatra and Mark Antony, her lover.
Oh, wow. He's in there.
Yeah, possibly. Which, in every sort of aspect, would be a big fucking deal.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah. So they have no, like, concrete proof yet. There's not, like, too much, except that it's just kind of, like, a lot of speculation. But apparently they are closer now than they ever have been, which is very cool.
That is cool.
And the cool thing about it is that Kathleen Martinez is the one leading it, and Cleopatra did say no man
will that's ever cool.
find her tomb, but Kathleen Martinez might.
Are there? It would be cool if it was like an Egyptian archaeologist, but
still a woman of color, which I appreciate.
So, although it kind of makes me think, like, are there? And it's. It's going to sound like a joke, but, like, are there any, like, Egyptian archaeologists? Like, how come they're not... It's always just other people from other countries go, like, hey, let me just dig up your shit.
That's the thing with archaeology.
Is this because it's, like, it's in their backyard that they don't care?
I think that they don't have funding.
I guess, right?
Yeah. I'm sure that there are some who work with the other teams, but, like, I feel like the Kathy Martinez's of the world... And the Indiana Jones of the world, they get more like funding from their government and the schools that they work for. Because like it wasn't even that too long ago that Egypt was kind of in a rough place politically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that has some things to do with it, or we just don't hear about the Egyptian archaeologists.
No, it's just a funny thing. Like, it's the state of, like, world politics or whatever. It's just, like, it's one of the most, like, popular archaeological... It's, like, probably the most, like, at least in pop culture, the most popular archaeological dig site country ever. But it's just other countries coming and pilfering it.
Yeah, that should tell you what the fuck is going on over there.
And that should tell you what the fuck.
But that's pretty much it. Not too much information, and I didn't want to keep researching and going into more in depth about it until we know more. And until then, it won't be a full topic for me.
Okay. Very good. Moving on, similar to Heart Attack Real, because before I forgot about the fucking hot dog eating. I'm sure you've seen a lot of TikToks, memes, or like it's kind of gotten popular within the last few years. Mean restaurants.
Yes.
So you've seen these where, like, these restaurants, like, there's a famous one, the Karen's Diner. I believe that's from the UK. Mm-hmm. Or then there's the Chicago's Wiener Circle.
Yes.
Where it's, like,
the beloved Chicago Wiener Circle.
Like, where the whole point is, like, that it's a restaurant where you are verbally abused and berated and humiliated by the staff.
Yeah.
Where you go and they just insult you. They are so mean to you.
Yeah.
And then they do everything they can to make you feel like shit.
Yeah.
And it's so... I could never go.
You could never go as a customer?
No. I could never go as a customer. I couldn't work there. It's so... It makes... It, like, I think it's fun enough, but it makes my anxiety crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the parameters and just, like... It feels like it's just so ripe with, like, potential catastrophic problems.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, at some point, someone's gonna, like, either like a customer's gonna push back too much, or a staff member's gonna, say something they shouldn't say.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a fascinating, because there's millions of vloggers that just go, it's kind of like a vlogger only. There's a lot of industry now that's just like for vloggers only.
Yeah.
And so you go, and it's kind of fun to watch. I don't have too much to say about like Karen Center, which is they just go and they're just a dick to you.
Yeah.
And they're just, I don't know. I find it kind of, do you have any thoughts? Would you ever go?
I think I would go just to see what they would say, because I don't know. I don't think anyone can ever say anything as mean to me as I think I've said, or even my mom has said to me, to go dark.
What if it... Would you go to just like a mean, like an abusive Filipino mom restaurant where it's just vitriolic Filipino moms?
I would go, because I also, that is the environment I grew up in. That's very harsh to say, but sometimes these Filipino ladies, they really turn it on, you know? I was raised by my mom and her two sisters, and at one point I was the only child in their life. Because their other ones were, like, in the Philippines. So all of their attention was directed to me. And it seems like, great, you have all of this support. And you do, on some level. But then on the other hand, it's like, it's a fucking, I have whiplash from being like, oh, what did you say? What did you say? So, yeah, I would go to just see what they would say. I would love to work there. Just so I can let loose on people after working, like, years in customer service. But then I think about, like, working customer service as is, you obviously have to be super nice to people. That is now, like, ingrained in my body. I will be in other stores. Someone will walk in. I will look up and, like, smile at them.
Yes, 100%.
Right? So then if I worked in this place, my instinct then would just be to rip into people nonstop.
It's just, I think, just what stresses me out, I think it's just stress that I feel when I watch these. It's just because it just seems so ripe with peril, because it's literally just like, if every, like, obviously in a perfect world where everyone follows the rules, then it's like, okay, that'd be fun. But it's just like, if like the customers can so quickly ruin it.
Yeah, they really can.
Or like, if they just fight back too much and they just really if they over challenge like the mean server, then it just ruins everything.
Which is, like, not the point. You know what you are going there for.
Yes.
Why are you, like, being defensive? Get the fuck out of there.
Exactly. So, like, yeah. Hopefully that's, but then I can't help but feel this, like, oh, but what if, like, I don't know, just, oh, it feels like it's ripe with its slur potential.
Yeah.
I feel like, because, like, sometimes if a customer challenges you and you keep trying to yes and
yeah.
top them, if you keep trying to top someone, eventually you're going to reach the top. You're going to hit Mount Everest and you're going to blast it. You're going to blast a slur.
I like that then, the peak of Mount Everest to you is Slur City.
It's just Slur City. Like, I just, like, because I can taste the record scratch moment where it's where, like, someone of a certain creed or nationality is giving them a lot of lip, and then the server has no other option.
They're like, I covered all the bases. I gotta go. I gotta earn my coin.
I was an intermediate. I'm about to go masterclass on you.
I think if you're like Jason and you don't want to go check out actually one of those restaurants, I think the safest thing to do is to just either watch the vlogs or watch Conan O'Brien's remote.
Silence. Silence, ooh. Wench. Because that's, remember I said like 2.5?
Oh, 2.5. Yeah.
Or whatever. But yeah. I'll get to that. Do you have one more?
Kind of.
Okay. So wrap up your thoughts shush you again.
No, I'm done. No problem. I've never had a single thought.
Great.
So I like my women.
Amazing.
What were you going to say?
I don't know. No, I think that's all I have to say about me, Dan.
Okay.
It's very strange. It's very bizarre. I think they're cool, but I don't trust them.
I think they're cool, but I'm scared.
Yeah, I'm scared for everyone involved.
Yeah, a healthy kind of what's the word?
It's just because
cautiousness.
Because it's just, what if someone thinks they can? What if a customer thinks they can handle it, but they can't?
That's true. A lot of people cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
This wasn't even really going to be a topic. I might go into this topic at a later date. It's just I don't want to buy the book. I don't want to buy the book and give it money, but I really want to read it. So I've been trying to find like ways to read it. Have you heard of the book or the series Ice Planet Barbarians?
No, I don't think so.
So, Ice Planet Barbarians is a series of sci-fi alien romance books by someone named Ruby Dixon, all set on the planet Not Hoth.
What?
Not Hoth.
Amazing.
Yeah, so on the planet of Not Hoth and starting members of the Sakui tribe.
Sakui.
So, the synopsis of the first book is... You'd think being abducted by aliens would be the worst thing that could happen to me. And you'd be wrong, because now the aliens are having ship trouble, and they've left their cargo of human women, including me, on an ice planet.
Hell yeah.
And the only native inhabitant I've met, he's big, horned, blue, and really, really has a thing for me.
Wait. Oh, so it's a woman that was abducted, and the woman's with all the ladies.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
So that's the synopsis, which is like just a narration from the character itself.
Does she get railed by the beast?
She do be.
Mm.
By the alien blue big horned beast. I'm going to kind of leave it at that. If anyone is curious, look into it. It was a big thing on TikTok a while, like I feel like in 2020, 2021. It was a big thing on BookTok. And people were just begrudgingly reading these books to the point where, like, remember when, like, all the fucking Karen moms were obsessed with 50 Shades of Grey?
Mm-hmm.
And 50 Shades of Grey is, like, one of the most atrocious things that's ever been written. Yeah. So it was, like, kind of that kind of level, but so specific, so fucking fetishy. I cannot wait to read it and tell you about it. Tell you what happens, because I've heard some things and they're crazy.
I'm so ready for you to... I want you to tell me this.
Yeah.
This could be a book report. If you want to just do, like, a solo, like, I don't have to do any research, and I don't have to do a topic, you could just do a book report.
I'm just going to do a book report for one episode of just Ice Planet Barbarians for everybody.
Again, the theme of YSEO season two is how can we make this easier for ourselves?
I think it's technically season three. I've been putting season three.
Okay, yeah, season three. Season three.
We had a very short season two, like a writer's strike season two, a 2008 writer's strike.
Yeah.
Are you done with your topics? Is that it?
No, I have the one. I have the final. I have the final.
Oh, your little final. As I was saying, okay.
Goes back to the mean themed restaurants. The Chicago's Wiener Circle is this like a Wiener Trailer Park hot dog. I'm just saying words. Remember, I was telling Kat before we recorded that I was so keyed up at the start that eventually I get punched out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gassed.
Yeah. And I feel like we've switched places because now I'm all.
Now you're all keyed up.
Yeah.
So Chicago's Wiener Circle is like a hot dog stand in Chicago where, I don't know, it's probably really good food, but the whole point is that they're incredibly mean to you. They just shatter you, they scream at you, they force you to tip. They're just awful to you. This reminded me of one of my biggest, earliest comic fascinations as a child was Conan O'Brien did a remote at the Chicago. It's one of the best things Conan ever did, where they sent Jack McBrayer from 30 Rock, the sweet, sweet, gentle, almost kind of stresses me out because I can never tell if they're in character or not. But they sent Jack McBrayer to the Chicago Wiener Circle, and they're just so terrible and mean to Jack McBrayer, and they just scream at him, and he's so stressed out. So Jack McBrayer comes back with my final topic. He comes back with Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Mm.
So if you don't follow Conan, Triumph is... Oh, fuck, what's his name? It's... oh, my God, I was going to say something. What's his name? He's a legend. I'm forgetting his name.
I can't remember his name either.
Robert Smigel. Robert Smigel.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah, Robert Smigel from, SNL animated TV Funhouse fame. So, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog is a character that Robert Smigel plays for Conan O'Brien, where he does... He's this little Rottweiler puppet with a cigar... And Robert Smigel is a hilarious comedian, and he's an amazing roast comic. So he sends this puppet dog to go to these events where he just berates and roasts and ridicules everyone that he finds. And it's amazing. So the Wiener Circle one is a very good one. Getting burnt out, Kat. I'm gassed.
Oh, no.
So that one's a really good one. But so for my final topic is just Triumph the Insult Comic Dog in general. I was obsessed with Triumph when I was from age 10 to 13. He was like one of my, I think some of my earliest comedy influences. One of them would be I loved Celebrity Jeopardy from SNL.
Yeah.
And I loved the Canadian comedy music band called the Arrogant Worms, and Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. So
very specific things.
If you ever, there's very formative years for me. So if you ever want to have a really good fucking time, I think I would recommend Triumph the Insult Comic Dog at the Star Wars Attack of the Clones premiere because it's a really good early 2000s time capsule of. Because I remember I used to rip all of his Triumph stuff off LimeWire back in the day. I'd watch them all from LimeWire. And I don't know, it's just such wonderful television and such wonderful comedy. And this is, I'm such a huge fan. I wish I could be better presenter, but we have now gassed out Jason Hoole, baby. I did a comedy show before, and it was hectic and wild. Amazing. And now I just did a podcast. I'm like, brr.
I know. I can't recall when the switch was, but it's like a different person.
Yeah.
That I'm looking at.
It's literally like when your laptop pops up, goes like charge required, like battery low.
I think I sucked all the life force out of you.
Yeah, you really did. You really succubied me.
But that's it? That's all of your topics?
Yeah, that's all I got.
I will say the chance, why do I keep calling him Chance?
Chance, like Chance the Rapper Dog?
Chance the Rapper Dog. Triumph the Chance Rapper Dog. That remote of him and Jack McBrayer, I was obsessed with.
It's amazing.
watched it so I cannot tell you
so how many, many times. Good burns. I love the burn, like oh no, you didn't go to high school.
Yep. Yep.
So good.
Just when.
How do you sleep in your car at night?
That one was very good. When the lady, like, so Jack ends up work, like, they tell him to come and work behind the counter, and then he ends up yelling at people. And, like, if anyone knows who Jack McBrayer is, he's obviously, like, the most opposite kind of person who would be yelling at anybody. And one of my favorite moments, it's a very simple moment, but when he's, like, she's, like, tell, the lady who's helping him is, like, tell her to tip. And he's, like, tip! And she goes, tell her to tip. He's, like, tip, bitch! That... So simple.
It's so good.
So funny.
I just love, I empathize so much with like when Jack McBrayer was a customer and yeah. then he just starts just like they're all screaming at him. Tell him get the fuck out of there. Just screaming at him. He's like, and you were very rude to me and I'm going to leave. But I just want to say I'm a customer and you shouldn't talk to me like that.
His very red and sweaty affronted face.
Oh my god, yeah.
Is so good. Oh, I love it. I'm going to go watch it before I go to bed. I'm just going to be giggling in bed.
Do it.
But I think that concludes everything. One, because we've run out of topics, and two, because we've run out of gas.
We ran out of kebab.
And in this economy, no one can afford gas. So we're going to go. Jason said thank you for listening.
Yeah, you redlined me.
Thank you for a good 2022.
Yes, yeah. Oh, we'll do a quick 2022, amazing year for me. Wild year. Oh no, I almost came back. No, 2022 is a wild year. Thank you for still listening. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Thank you, Kat, for everything you do for this podcast. You're a legend and I love you so much.
Jason, thank you, and I love you, and thanks for always being so encouraging and being very sweet and very funny and encouraging me to do everything all the time.
Amazing.
It's very helpful. I have your little voice in my head telling me I can do it, and that's nice.
Fuck, I'm so impressive.
Ladies, what a catch. Hello, have you seen his forearms?
I've been flexing him. That's why I'm so gassed. It's just I've been...
He's locked. All of his blood is drained because he finally let loose and he's going to pass out.
I show you my arm. They're just like, it's like purple from just like how much I've been flexing it this whole time.
I'm going to send you forearm exercises. Is something you would like?
Oh my, we'll find out.
We're going to see. Okay, so... follow the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, comment on the podcast. We would love that. Tell your friends. Find us on social media. You can find Jason at where?
You can find me at Brudahoole. That's BRUDDAHOULE, Brudahoole on Instagram. Kat, where can they find you?
They can find me on any social media at It's Kath and Ram. They can find the podcast at YSEO Podcast on Instagram. Maybe TikTok. We'll see what 2023 brings.
Yeah, we'll see. 2023 will be a year of social media for Jason, I think.
for Jason. Stepping out of his comfort zone.
To just fucking join the Zoomers.
That's about it. Thank you again for listening. We love doing this. I hope we will continue to do it in 2023. I know we will. And everyone have a happy Christmas and a happy New Year. And happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, whatever the fuck you celebrate. Goodbye.
Redact that.
Have a miserable everything.
Thank you. Bye.